नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Hare Krishna, dear devotees and friends.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you all very much for coming. We're so happy to see you all. And hope you're all happy in Krishna consciousness. I thought this evening we could read a verse from Bhagavad Gita as it is. Translation and commentary by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Chapter 2, Contents of the Gita, summarized, text 40. Neha bikrama na shosti, pratyavayo na vidyate, svalpamapyasya dharmasya, triyate, Mahato Bayat. Translation. In this endeavor, there is no loss or diminution, and a little advancement on this path can protect one from the most dangerous type of fear. That's a very interesting message. Let us read the purport by Srila Prabhupada. Activity in Krishna consciousness, or acting for the benefit of Krishna without expectation of sense gratification, is the highest transcendental quality of work. Even a small beginning of such activity finds no impediment, nor can that small beginning be lost at any stage. Any work begun on the material plane has to be completed, otherwise the whole attempt becomes a failure. But any work begun in Krishna consciousness has a permanent effect, even though not finished. The performer of such work is therefore not at a loss, even if his work in Krishna consciousness is incomplete. 1% done in Krishna consciousness bears permanent results, so that the next beginning is from the point of 2%. Whereas in material activity, without 100% success, there is no profit. Ajamil performed his duty in some percentage of Krishna consciousness, but the result he enjoyed at the end was 100% by the grace of the Lord. There is a nice verse in this connection in Srimad Bhagavatam, 1.5.17. Tyaktva svadharmam charanam bhujam harir bhajam apakvota patetotoryadi yatra kvava bhadram abud amushyakim ko varta apto bhajatam svadharmata. Which means, if someone gives up his occupational duties and works in Krishna consciousness, and then falls down on account of not completing his work, what loss is there on his part? And what can one gain if one performs his material activities perfectly? Or, as the Christians say, what profiteth a man if he gain the whole world, yet suffers the loss of his eternal soul? material activities and their results end with the body. But work in Krishna consciousness carries a person again to Krishna consciousness, even after the loss of the body. At least one is sure to have a chance in the next life of being born again as a human being, either in the family of a great cultured Brahmin or in a rich aristocratic family that will give one a further chance for elevation. That is the unique quality of work done in Krishna consciousness. Let me just read the verse again. Neha vikramanashosti pratyavayana vidyate swalpamapyasya dharmasya triyate mahato bayat. In this endeavor, there is no loss or diminution, and a little advancement on this path can protect one from the most dangerous type of fear. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutalaya Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Tinavi Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Niravishesha Shunyavani Bhaskar Jadeshatarine Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Srivasati Gauravakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, 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 Hare Hare. Vanchakalpa Charupyas Chagripa Sindhupya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Hare Krishna. Again, devotees, I'm so happy to be here with you. You know, in the meantime, since I was here last time, which I suppose was a year ago, was it? Something like that. Anyway, whenever it was. But in the meantime, I must say, I have heard so many very nice reports about the devotees in Ermelo. It's a fact, actually. I do inquire from time to time, I must say. Try to keep track of things and people to some degree. And I can honestly say we've heard very good reports, and I wanted to thank you and congratulate you, actually. Well done. Now, here we have an interesting verse in Bhagavad Gita. Let us just try to briefly say some words about it and try and keep it simple. The point which is, well, a couple of related points are being made here. As we see in the verse, Lord Krishna is saying that our efforts in devotional service to him, and when we say to him, we can also bear in mind that this indicates other forms of himself, like Lord Ram, like what was it on Friday, was the appearance day of Lord Vamana. You may have heard of Vamana. He is one of the famous Das Avatar that every good Hindu should know the names of. That was on Friday. So they're of the same category as Lord Krishna. Not everyone is of the same category, in the same group as Lord Krishna, but they are. We are in a different group. We are basically common living beings. So Lord Krishna said here that any effort, even a small effort, that anyone may make in service to Krishna or one of his expansions, as we mentioned, like Lord Ram, etc. So any little effort made like that basically is never lost. The result, the benefit is never lost. So that's one point. And the second point is that any little advancement that one makes in that regard, a little progress one makes in service to the Lord, in purifying the heart through service to the Lord, even a little advancement, Krishna says, Trayate Mahato Bayat. It can protect one from the greatest fear. What is the greatest fear? Prabhupada does not specifically mention that actually in the purport, although elsewhere he talks about it many places at length. The greatest fear, devotees and friends, is not just something like maybe we will be robbed, which of course is a fear. Or maybe we will get some serious disease. And even if we call Dr. Buller, he may not even be able to help. It would have to be extremely serious. But it might be. Or you might lose all your money somehow if there's some financial disaster, crisis of some extraordinary type. These things, of course, they are fears and they're certainly points to consider. But the greatest fear, Mahata Bayat, the greatest fear actually is that when this life comes to an end, as it inevitably will, even when you're just young, like our two youngsters there in the middle, or whether you're older, like a number of us here, it is certainly not a question of if, it's just a question of when. So the greatest fear then is that when that time comes, and we pass through that time, that in our next life, we may not get a human birth, but we may get actually an animal birth, or even something lower like a bird or a fish or a plant, but these lower types of births where there is not really facility for developing spiritually. Yes. Really, that is, at least to a very large extent, that is the opportunity for that is there really for human beings, because they have developed understanding or capacity to understand. And if they understand these types of things properly, they can apply them and progress spiritually. So these two things, Krishna is saying in this verse, if we make some progress in Krishna consciousness, in service to him or his expansions, then these two good things will be there. Whatever benefit we have achieved will not be lost, and whatever advancement we have made will that will protect us from some next life crisis. You may have heard of midlife crisis. Did you ever hear about that? But what about next life crisis? Well, okay, so anyway, Srila Prabhupada explains here in the purport, it's interesting that in any work we may do on the material level, we have to complete it. If we don't complete it, then, well, it's sort of like, really, it's insubstantial. Like, I'll give you an example. If you built a nice building like this, and you just one small detail you neglected, you just didn't put any door in. It's just a small thing compared to the whole structure. What is the cost of one door compared to a house? So, it would be a bit of a shame, wouldn't it? You know, you've got burglar guards on the windows. What are you going to do? Take them off and climb out the window every time? So, like this, or if you do a degree, or if you're studying for a degree in university, but you don't complete it, and you just leave it, and you go, and now you apply for a job, and they say, oh yes, you got a degree, and you say, well, no, I almost got one. You know, it's unlikely they'll take you very seriously. So you get the idea. Or even like, say, a motor car, you may have even a very exceptional motor car, like a Rolls Royce or some sort of something, really, that is not common. And if there's just one small detail missing, it doesn't have a steering wheel. Oh, well. You can always sit in it comfortably. But if it doesn't have a steering wheel, what are you going to do? Try and turn, you know, where the column comes up, try and turn it. So you get the idea. It's a principle. It's a principle. But in Krishna consciousness, even if one, for example, one practices for a while, but then at some point one gets distracted and one goes off in another direction in life and just sort of forgets about Krishna consciousness and maybe just becomes materialistic. It happens. It happens sometimes. I mean, usually people have been involved that even if they do get distracted, they can't forget it. But even, you know, sometimes they really good, a few really get very badly distracted. So, but they made some progress, as Prabhupada says here, even maybe just 1%. That's very little. But just 1%. So in the next life, by Krishna's arrangement, they will get the opportunity again, by his arrangement. He's very kind to his devotees and even to those who have been his devotees, who tried to be but couldn't make it, like this. He's very kind. Next life, they'll get the opportunity somehow, even without looking for it. It will just come to them. And then when they start off again, they will start from 2%. And what to speak if they finished in the previous life at 50%, they'll start again from 51%. Whereas, if, for example, if you're a business person and you accumulate some assets and some sort of little fortune, but then you die, when you're born in your next life, you will start off with zero. Absolutely zero. Yes. Or if in this lifetime, for example, you get some high educational qualification, maybe some PhD or something of that sort, then in your next life, you will start off with A, B, C, 1, 2, 3. You will. Just as we have all done in this life. You will. This is the principle you follow. Yes. And even, well, as Krishna says, a little advancement, even from a little advancement, a great result can come. It's interesting, there is one recorded lecture given by Srila Prabhupada on this verse, which I just happened to read this afternoon. Those of you who have Srila Prabhupada's books on computer, that special program which we have, you can find it and read it yourself also. And anyway, Srila Prabhupada there, right at the beginning of this lecture, in order to make this point that even someone does a little, but they may, in Krishna consciousness, but they may get a great result, Srila Prabhupada tells a story, which I will tell you. And actually this story, it's not just a creation of Srila Prabhupada. This story, it comes from one of the Puranas. Which Purana? I just forget offhand. But it is cited by Jiva Goswami in Bhakti Sandarbha, where he's explaining the glories of devotional service. So the story is as follows. In a temple in India, many years ago, a long time ago, there was a mouse living. And the mouse was just getting a few scraps here and there that might be left over, and, you know, as mice do. And this was his life. He was always moving around the temple looking for something to eat. And when he was particularly hungry, he would climb up the stand of the oil lamp, one of the oil lamps, which was used, because it was before electricity, was used to illuminate the temple. So you know what it's like. It's sort of maybe this high, and it has a stand, and then there's a bowl on top, and there's oil, and there's a wick. You're familiar with oil lamps. But the thing is that in order for the wick to burn most effectively, from time to time you have to adjust it. You know, move it a bit. Otherwise it'll just burn out and you won't get sort of the life you could from it. So anyway, this... when this mouse could not find anything elsewhere, he would climb up and around the bowl and over the top and into the bowl, and he would drink the oil. Yes. You know, when people are in dire straits, they may do any sort of strange thing. But this is what he would do. He would somehow clamber over the top and then go in and drink the oil, then that's what he would do. So anyway, Prabhupada's telling the story, which is from one of the Puranas, that one day, that mouse, he was drinking the oil, but the oil level was a bit lower than usual, so he was really having to really go over the top, and he slipped. And he went into the oil, and he died. He died. But when he slipped into the oil, his nose touched or hit the end of the wick and knocked the wick up a bit, and in this way sort of adjusted it. And the lamp burned longer for the pleasure of the deity. It was on the altar somewhere there. So in other words, he did something completely unknowingly and totally unintentionally. He did something which was, in effect, it was actually a service to the Lord. So Prabhupada's telling this story. And but then he died. So the question is, where did he go in his next life? What happened to him? And the answer is, listen to this, devotees, he returned to the kingdom of God. Yes. He returned to the kingdom of God. Because even though it was unintentionally, and he had absolutely no idea what he was doing in those terms, but it was actually of some service to the Lord. Yes. So just see. We are talking about something which is really very amazing here. Really very amazing. And in the purport also, Srila Prabhupada mentions a person named Ajamil. You've probably heard of Ajamil. Yes. Ajamil is described in the first and second chapters. In the first couple of chapters or so, it's a story of the sixth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. The story of Ajamil. It's quite a story. He was born in a good family and brought up nicely, and he became a young man. Everything was nice. He was married to a very nice girl. He was in a Brahmin family, priestly, intellectual type family, and he was doing nicely. But unfortunately, at some point when he was perhaps in his mid or late 20s or something, whatever, maybe around 30 perhaps, but while he was still young, he had a bad experience, a very bad experience. He saw a prostitute and one of her customers involved in all their business somewhere in the forest. And this somehow, it just struck his heart very, very strongly. It made a very deep impression on him. And he just couldn't get it out of his mind. Just couldn't. Initially he tried, because he understood, oh no, that this was the wrong thing. I should not have, you know, watched them and all that. So I must get it out of my system. But he couldn't. And he actually just got caught up in thinking about it and daydreaming about it more and more. And in the end, he found the very prostitute. And it's a bit of a long story, but initially he gave her a job as the maid in the house. And the wife was wondering, why is a woman like this working for us? But anyway, things were going on. But then in due course, it all came out in the open. He kicked out his wife, kicked out his parents, and was trying to sort of please the prostitute who really wanted a lot. You know, good clothes all the time and new jewelry all the time and all that sort of thing, all the comforts, and he couldn't manage. But he was so attached to her. He took up a life of crime. Yeah. And he just went off the deep end, completely off the deep end, into just a most shocking life. Very degraded life, a Jamil. This is all described there in the sixth, at the beginning of the sixth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, and you can read it. It's such an interesting story. So anyway, eventually, when he was quite old, he and his wife had another child, a boy. When he was already old, means like well into his 70s or something like that, somehow they had another child. And they named that child Narayan, which is a name of the Lord. You might wonder, why would a prostitute and just a very degraded fellow like this, Ajamil, why would they name their child Narayan? Why not, you know, Elvis, how's that? Just something more in keeping with their lifestyle. But the thing is, that was just like the social environment they were living in. People just used those names. It was not that they thought, yes, it's a good name. It's a name of God. And it will be good for him. Not like that. It was just a popular name. If it had been today, you know, he might have just been called John or Fred or just something. So any name. So, yeah. So just by force of circumstances, they named the child Narayan. And then when Narayan was 5, Ajamil, who was already old, he died. Or at least he started dying. Yeah. And as he started dying and he became aware, you know, I am dying, I'm going to die like now. It's just we're talking about some minutes maybe. So of course he panicked and he didn't know what to do. And he was thinking, maybe I can be saved. Who can save me? And somehow he just thought of his 5-year-old son, Narayan. And he called out, Narayan, Narayan, help, save me. At that time, some Yamadutas came. You may have heard of them. They're sort of very colorful characters, you could say. Have a look at that. If you have a set of Srimad Bhagavatam, have a look, I think, on the back cover. Or at least in the pictures center section, you'll find some pictures of the Yamadutas. And they are just ghastly. They're just most shocking, horrific people, like monsters, basically. Like monsters. Kind of humanoid monster types. And they come and they drag sinful people out of their bodies. They drag the soul and the what we call the subtle body or the mental body, they drag the soul and the subtle body out of the gross body of flesh and blood as the gross body is just dying. And they have really, really shocking, horrible characters, and like I said, like monsters. So he saw these beings and it was just too much. So he was just screaming, Narayan, save me. What 5-year-old Narayan could have done against a whole team of monstrous Yamadutas, I don't know. But that's all he could think of. That's just what came to his mind. So when he did that, the Vishnu Dutas, Duta, Yama Duta, Duta, well, it has different meanings. It can mean carrier, it can mean carrier, or it can mean messenger, it can mean like servant, Duta. So Yama Duta means the servants of Yama or Yamaraj, the Lord of Death. Vishnu Dutas, the servants of Lord Vishnu. They appeared on the scene and they stopped the Yamadutas as they're in the middle of dragging the soul and subtle body of Jamil out of the gross body. The Vishnu Dutas stopped them and said, no, you're not taking him, we're taking him. And the Yamadutas said, no, no, no. That you've made a mistake, friends. Maybe you're looking for the people next door. They were nice people. But this is a Jamil. You know, that one. This just, you know, like he was a living sort of horror story. So he is for us, Yamadutas. You've made a mistake. And the Vishnu Dutas said, no, no, no. No, we have come for a Jamil. So there's actually a debate. You can read it. There's a whole debate. You know, what makes you think you can take him? Because he was so bad. Not just ordinary bad, but especially bad. And the Vishnu Dutas explained, yes, we are well aware of all these considerations, but the thing is, as he was dying, he chanted the name of the Lord as he was dying. So therefore, we are taking him. And the Yamadutas, they had to just concede defeat and leave. Yeah. And they went back to Yamaraj, and anyway, you can read about that. They asked him, you know, who are these people? How could they say this? And as it happened, Ajamil did not actually die. He was on the edge. But when all of this happened, he actually came back to life. What they call a near-death experience. Sometimes you read about these things. NDE. That's what they say. He had an NDE. And he survived. And he came back to consciousness. But he remembered this whole experience so vividly. So vividly. He, on the spot, he changed his way. And he became a devotee, and a very serious devotee. And he went, I think, to Haridwar and lived there. And not long after, he actually died. But now he was fixed in Krishna consciousness. He went back to Godhead. So there's one verse there in that narration which says that if Ajamil achieved this on the basis of this chanting, which was directed towards his son and not really directed towards the Lord. And his whole life had been such a terrible mess. But he achieved this. Then Shukadev Goswami is speaking. He says, how can there be any doubt that someone who sincerely, from the heart, and regularly chants the names of the Lord on an ongoing basis, as a regular function, how can there be any doubt that they will go back to Godhead? There's no doubt at all. Just no doubt at all. So this is the idea here. And Prabhupada has mentioned in the Purport, he mentions Ajamil performed his duty in some percentage of Krishna consciousness. Some percentage means maybe one, two. That's some percentage. It's really not much at all. But the result he enjoyed at the end was 100% by the grace of the Lord. So yeah, so you're all intelligent people, thoughtful people, and devotees. You know, of course, everyone's an individual, and even just here, different people are on different levels. But still, we should take some encouragement from what's being explained here. It's very important, yes, that we should really do our best to cultivate our Krishna consciousness. And one way or the other, whether we're fully successful, partially, or, you know, whether we sort of go off on the wrong track at some point, but if we make our best effort as much as we can, it'll be totally beneficial, actually. Totally beneficial. And in Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna, in the sixth chapter, Arjuna asks Krishna, what is the fate of someone who does not complete the process? And what does he say? Does he perish like a riven cloud? Riven cloud means you have a big cloud in the sky, and then one little sort of cloudlet, some little tiny little fluffy bit of thing, gets somehow blown away from the big cloud, and that little bit of cloud just sort of gets blown to pieces and then it's gone. That's a riven cloud. So Arjuna asks, what's going to happen? And Krishna, just following on from this point here, says that whatever progress was made will not be lost. The person will at least get a good birth to continue on. And even it may go on over a few lifetimes. Sometimes it's like that. But as the person gradually, step by step, progresses, and, you know, goes from 1% to 2 to 10 to 50, and, you know, some really substantial stage of Krishna consciousness, but not perfect, then Krishna explains that at a certain point, at a certain stage, when the person is born in the next lifetime, they will just find themselves just attracted to Krishna consciousness, just like driven towards it, even without really, like say if they're children, like really understanding what they're so attracted to, but being so attracted to it. And you know, we do find sometimes some children, small children, that they like to have their little Krishna dolls. Others like their Barbie dolls and little whatever thing, teddy bears and stuff like that. But some children, they're just really attracted to Krishna dolls and playing with them, and they don't want to go and just play with the other children because they're just too absorbed in this. There are many stories, even in scripture, there are stories of children like that. Yeah. So, it's a problem. Serious problem. So, now there's one other aspect. Just last point I'll make, is that we should not now think that, well, look what happened to Ajana, look what happened to the mouse, and, you know, I'm doing better than them. So, I don't need to worry. Or even, I can relax, actually. Why am I trying to be so serious about it? Practice it and maintain certain standards. I can be like the mouse. Let me follow in the footsteps of Ajamil. Because, you know, well, you know what happened to them. We should be very careful. These are examples. They're very special and extraordinary examples. They're not just like typical. This is just normal. They're not. But they are showing what can happen and what has happened in some special cases. Not just the typical run-of-the-mill. What happens to people? Because there's a verse in Bhagavad Gita chapter 9, verse 3. Are any of you Bhagavad Gita scholars? If I tell you a verse number, can you quote it? It helps to try and learn some verses. Anyway, this verse now, chapter 9, verse 3. Ashradadana purusha dharmas yasya parantapa aprapyamam nivartante mrityu samsara vartmani. Can you follow the Sanskrit? Or is it too different? Anyway, ashradadana, a person who is ashradadana, they have no faith. Dharmas yasya parantapa, and they fall from the path of dharma. Then aprapyamam, when a is in front of a word, it means not. Yeah. Aprapya mam. They cannot achieve me. But mrityu samsara. You understand that, don't you? You should do. Mrityu samsara vartmani. They return to the path of repeated death. Yes. So, yeah. You know, it's nice to have these encouraging examples because they're real and it is possible. But still, we should be careful, try and take things seriously. When we say seriously, we don't mean you have to be very somber, you know, and sort of just, grave to the point of practically being in a grave. I mean, you've got to apply yourself. Yes. must apply, we must apply ourselves. The good news is that if we do apply ourselves, not only are we ensuring a bright future or the very real possibility of going back to Godhead at the end of this life, but in the meantime, tomorrow, starting tonight, and then tomorrow and onwards, we'll be very happy, very, very happy in Krishna consciousness. Much happier than just being a typical ordinary person with typical ordinary mentality in day-to-day materialistic life. Very quickly one becomes much happier and much clearer in mind. So, devotees, that's our message. Please try and take it seriously and apply yourselves. I mean, you're already doing it, to different degrees, depends on the individual. But you can all do it. You can actually all do it without exception as I look around. I have absolutely no doubt whatsoever. So please do it. Please try. Take it seriously. And then just see the transformation, beneficial transformations in your life. See it for yourself. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you for listening very patiently. Quick time check. Anyone? As I said in Bethel yesterday, I heard that the people there are very intelligent. What I didn't say is that I heard they had many questions. I heard that about the people in Ermelo. Anyone have any question or comment? The night is young. We have a little time. Comments? Suggestions? Disagreements even? We are not dogmatists.
One question for you.
Yes, please.
If you're not Krishna conscious, but you're worshipping the Supreme in another form,
I see.
Are these people in the same direction, and are they going to reach the same destination?
Okay, that's a good point. Definitely. Good question. It would depend what they are worshipping as the Supreme, or what they think it is. Because there are many different ideas about when you say the Supreme, what that indicates. Some may think, like in Hinduism, many people will think it's some particular demigod. This is very common. Some people may think, like the Muslims actually, that it's like not a person, some impersonal sort of something. Yeah. Or even the Mayavadis and the Brahmavadis, they specifically think God or the Supreme is not a person. God is light. Some say God is light. I mean, just different people, not just the Mayavadis. Some say God is love. Some say God or the Supreme is energy. There are different ideas, so it would depend. It would depend. If, for example, they were thinking that just as an example, that Durga is supreme. Their future, even though it's not on the same level as Krishna consciousness, but their future will be better than someone who's just thinking that the supreme is some formless nothing, or maybe just some light, something like that. Yes. And in the future, by the mercy of Durga, who's a devotee, they'll probably come to Krishna consciousness, actually. Whereas others, like, you know, just as an example, the Muslims who have this a certain type of very impersonal idea of the absolute. But, you know, along with that, they are prone to be, or at least many, or however many, quite antagonistic towards other viewpoints. You know, even like extremely aggressively antagonistic. And some Christians, you know, I remember going to a Christian monastery. We were traveling, distributing books in Ireland. And to stay overnight, we went and stayed in the guest house of a monastery. And one of the monks was in charge of dealing with guests. So he met us, and we were just dressed like this. And he said, "Oh, you know, what do you do?" And we showed him photos of our deities in London. And he said, "Oh, he's so beautiful. Do you worship him?" So, you know, he's a Christian, but a more broad-minded and open-minded. But then you get some Christians who are just, whew, they're really unpleasant, actually. So it really depends. It really does depend. But, you know, I think an underlying principle which is very important would be, what is their attitude towards the real thing, towards Krishna consciousness? I think that's a really, you know, going to be a deciding factor for people like that. If their attitude is bad, negative, well, I don't think they're going to do very well. Yeah. If their attitude, you know, maybe they're not ready to follow it, but, you know, they have some appreciation, it will lead to greater things. It definitely will. Yes. So it depends like that. Yeah. It also, you know, another consideration is just their piety, the degree of piety. You know, Christians, the Christians are the only group of, at least, you know, the popular religions of today, where they have no process, no substantial process of sanctifying their food. At least the Muslims, despite everything else, at least they have halal. It's better than nothing. Maybe not a lot better, but it is better. And the Jews have kosher. Yeah, it's better than just nothing. And, you know, even amongst Hindus, you get those who do animal sacrifice. There, you know, because they're in the sort of the general Vedic Hindu sort of realm, it's likely that their attitude towards Krishna will be positive, even though they're really into something else. Yeah. So there are all these different considerations.
So in Krishna consciousness, does piety play a very important role, or is it just by the way here?
Okay. It plays an important role. It's not the most important thing. The most important thing is to be attached to Krishna. And that's what saved Ajamil. But, you know, in Krishna consciousness, when a person's initiated, which means like the first major step forward, like really major, big step forward. I mean, there are other steps before that which are important, but initiation, that's a big step forward. So they must vow two things in the initiation. One is to follow the regulative principles. The other is to chant not less than 16 rounds a day. So the four regulative principles, no intoxication, no meat, fish and eggs, and so on, no intoxication, no illicit sex life, no gambling, anyway, the four. That's piety. It's not that, for example, if a person is not smoking cigarettes, that will not make him Krishna conscious. But if he does smoke cigarettes, it will stop him becoming Krishna conscious. You see? It means now we're eliminating a negative influence. And the same with all of the meat eating, drinking, illicit sex, and gambling, all these things. They have negative impacts. So by eliminating them, and they are the main things which have negative impacts. More than, for example, stealing. Now, we definitely don't encourage stealing, but it's not as bad as these four. So, yes, you know, if a person doesn't drink liquor, then it is not, just in and of itself, it is not going to make him more Krishna conscious, but it will stop him from being degraded. It's sort of like it'll open the door. You can't go through a door till it's open. So these are like doors into Krishna consciousness, and they need to be opened. Otherwise, the progress, well, at least it'll be reduced. It won't be as much. Yeah. Yeah. So that's the point. So piety has definitely a part to play in the picture. But even if a person is impious, like Ajamil, was, you know, terribly impious. Of course, like we said, that's a very special case. But because somehow he was very attached to chanting the name Narayan, meaning his son, that all day it was, Narayan, where are you? Narayan, come here. Narayan. It was just Narayan, Narayan, Narayan all day, although indicating something else, but he got great benefit. Yeah. Because it's a type of chanting, you know, it's a little scientific actually. There are different levels or types of chanting. One is called Nam Abhas, which means something like either a reflection or a shadow of the holy name. And an interesting type of Nam Abhas is that people are speaking syllables, which include the syllables of some name of the Lord, but there are other syllables in between. Or they're speaking an actual name of the Lord, but specifically to indicate something else. An example of a name being used today to just indicate something else is Rama, Rama Margarine. Seriously. It's all over the world. They're doing well. It's in Russia. They all know Rama Margarine. America. Seriously. Although so many, they have no idea that it has anything to do with anything spiritual. But there's some benefit. Limited, but some. And where an in, very interesting example, where there are some other syllables separating syllables of a name of the Lord. Listen to this. Barack Obama. Ra. Ba-ra. So Ra is there. Obama. Ra-ma is there. Although they're syllables separating. This is considered a form of what is called namabas. It's like a reflection of the holy name or a shadow, but it's connected and it's beneficial. Hare Krishna. Okay, so let us have RTI take it. Yes?
Yes.
Okay. We can all stand up, stretch our legs, and take part in the RTI.